Let us pray. Lord, we know that you welcome all of us, that you want to touch us with your spirit, with your love, with your forgiveness. We need your healing power. We trust it is always there for us, and our only problem is that sometimes we don't believe it. Help us to trust ourselves to you and your unrelenting love for each of us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I shook the hand of the Pope. I really did. I shook the Pope's hand. It was John Paul II. It was 1993, but I did shake the Pope's hand. That summer, I was teaching for Augsburg College in Minneapolis. I had a dozen students from all over the world, fascinating people from China and Zimbabwe and places in the U.S. And most of our time was at the World Council of Churches and the Lutheran World Federation. We were studying ecumenism, but one of the things that we did was we went for a week to Italy, and we started out in Florence and then went to Venice and then to Rome, and we actually met with a couple of pontifical commissions, I think they're called. One was on ecumenism. That's the attempt of different Christian churches to work together in a positive kind of way. And anyway, while I was there with the students, but also my wife and my son, who was only 7 then, and my daughter, who was 3. And I heard that, I think it was each Wednesday, the Pope would have some kind of a worship service, not in the main Vatican Cathedral, but in a little place. I mean, it was quite large, but it wasn't nearly as big as the cathedral, but he'd do that every Wednesday. And I found out you could stand in line and try to get tickets. So I stood in line, and somehow I managed to get 2 tickets. And I don't remember what the decision-making process was, but somehow it ended up Brian and me going. I guess Mary thought she better take care of our 3-year-old. So Brian and I went in, and we were ushered in, and we were ushered to a pew. Now, depending on your theology, either by luck or by the Spirit's direction, Brian and I ended right on the aisle of an inside pew, kind of like where Marv is sitting there. And once everybody's seated, they bring out these wooden things to block off the pews so no one can go out. And then the Pope comes in from the back, and he comes walking down. And just when he got close to us, he came over to our side and reached out his hand. And I don't remember if I just touched it or shook it or what, but Brian and I both did. And we couldn't believe it. And the first thing I felt as a good Lutheran was guilty. I looked around, and there were these priests and nuns from all over the world. And I knew some of them came from very poor countries, and they'd probably planned their whole life to come to the Vatican, and they'd probably been raising money through bake sales and bingo for years to come here. And while it was a special experience for me, I would even say it was a spiritual experience. I knew that in no way did it have the depth of meaning for me that it would have been for any one of these Catholic persons. You know, it's been interesting this week because everybody wants to tell you that they're Catholic now. I mean, all kinds of people on the news or whatever, you have no idea whether they're religious or not, said, well, you know, I was raised in the Catholic faith. Somehow this Pope has made people want to talk about Christianity and about Catholicism. Well, this week I have watched with rapt attention his appearance, Pope Francis. I was intrigued by him from the beginning, not only because I spent so much time myself living in Latin America, working with the church there and meeting many priests and bishops, but also because he was the first pope to take the name of what I consider to be one of the most famous of the saints, Pope Francis. I can't believe it hadn't been done before. His prayer, you know, the Serenity Prayer, make us instruments of your peace, that was actually, my wife and I actually had a theme for our wedding. Can you believe that? We had a theme. The theme was, make us instruments of your peace. So anyway, I've been watching, and it's so interesting to me that people, again, have come from all over the hemisphere. There was some guy that loaded up a Volkswagen like at the tip of South America and came all the way. I mean, these folks would have given anything to touch the Pope, but all they wanted was a glimpse. Why would people travel so far and wait in line for hours just to get a glimpse. And the few, although that's only proportional, because there are a lot of people, because every time he had one of those rope lines, he was going, and he was always seeking out the children. Did you notice that? To hug them, to bless them, to touch them, the ones who are obviously in some kind of physical disability, to give them a special blessing. It seemed like he could not get enough of trying to make himself available to people. You know, we all want to be touched, don't we? And that includes physically, because we all need to be held when we're going through times of struggle or times of sorrow. But we also want to be touched at a deeper level. We want to be touched spiritually. We want to be touched by God. The Bible is replete with stories of people who either tried themselves to touch Jesus or people who went hoping they would be touched by him. The gospel for today is about a woman who is very deliberate about trying to touch Jesus, even when he doesn't see her, and he realizes it because he says power went out from him, and then finally she admits that she was the one who touched him because she was so in need of healing. This Pope, more than any other in my lifetime, seems comfortable with himself. He loves, obviously, to be with people, including children, including the homeless, including the poor. And he speaks in a compassionate manner that makes most people realize that he has something that we do not. Or at least at a deeper level than we seem to have. And we want it because we know that his forgiving spirit, his loving disposition, his kindness, as one of the children said, the hope he seems to continue to have in the midst of all the problems of the world, we want to feel that ourselves. People want to touch the Pope or at least see him because they want to be touched by him, and that is, I think, a way of saying that they want to be touched by God. In that sense, the Pope isn't that much different than you or me, because Christ calls the church to be the mediators of his love, of his touching, and of his care, and we are also invited to reach out and touch other people, to let them know of Christ's love for them, because we all want and need to be touched. We need a spiritual home. That's what I realize. We need a spiritual home where we can experience forgiveness and grow in grace and live out Jesus' calling to be a life of compassionate people. And I've experienced that in powerful and profound ways since I came to the greater D.C. area 5 years ago. About a year ago, I got a call from a writer for the Arlington magazine, and she said, "I wanted to interview you because I see you have a lot of young adult stuff going on in your church, and I want to do an article on why young adults are leaving the church." I said, "Well, you called the wrong church." I said, "Young adults are not leaving here. In the last 4 years, we've had 160 young adults join the church." And she was intrigued by that, so it kind of messed up her story to what I think she did mention, this, that there are exceptions. Well, let me go back 5 years ago. On the Sunday that this congregation voted whether or not to call me as a pastor, it was, I think, June 10th or something, 2010, I met your interim pastor, Norm Tyson. He had only one thing to say to me. He said, "Brian, every Sunday we have young adults visit this church, and we have no program or process in place to welcome them. This is what you have to figure out how to do." Well, he seemed like a smart guy, so I listened to him. Now, as part of the transition process this fall, Pastor Yvette and I are talking about the kind of ministry that is being made possible by having two full-time pastors. And one of the reasons I came to Faith Lutheran Church is, relatively speaking, it's a small church. I think the call committee said there were like 500 members. Well, the other two churches where I was a senior pastor were more like 1,500 members each. I've actually been an associate pastor in a congregation of 3,000 members. And so I was attracted to this because I realized in my last call I didn't want to spend so much time in administration. I didn't want to spend so much time supervising other staff. I just wanted to do ministry. That's why I went into it. That's what I was trained for. And I also decided that what I wanted to do was what we traditionally called evangelism, and now we call outreach. In other words, how can we be a welcoming community? And one thing I had noticed in every church I served in, the churches that were the most welcoming were the ones that had either a layperson or a staff person who was focused strictly on outreach. And their job on Sunday mornings was to figure out who the guests are and then be intentional about meeting them. And I said, you know, I think I could do this myself. I would like to do this myself. So I was thinking about it in general. But now I had to figure out the young adult piece. So I called a pastor on our synod staff. Her name is Amy Savimli. She, I don't know if she's a young adult anymore, but she was then. And I asked her, you know, what kind of a staff person should we bring on board in order to start a young adult ministry? She said, well, why don't you do it yourself? I said, Amy, I'm 60 years old. She said, well, do you like young adults? I said, I love young adults. Two of them are my children. She said, well, you can do it. I'll show you how. So without going into a lot of detail, she coached me. And I started out by just trying to meet new people and try to get their emails like I do every Sunday. We rebuilt our website right away, and I started getting young adults and others emailing me through our website. And I would email them back, or if they left a phone number, I would call them. And what I basically said in the email was, I'd really like to thank you for worshiping with us or writing to me through our website. And I would like to get to know you better and what you are looking for in a church. And we could do this by email or by phone or at Starbucks. There has been one choice that has never been taken by a young adult. Does anybody know what it is? Phone. I think it's a death machine for young adults. It's great for texting and everything else, but not for talking on the phone. So I was kind of astounded how many people were willing to meet for coffee or who would begin an email conversation. And I realized that young adults today hunger to be touched by God, hunger to find a welcoming and spiritual home, young hungering for peers that they can talk about their work and their struggles and their graduate school and all the things people do here, but they can talk about their struggles in God's place in it and where God might be calling them. So then the next thing we started was our young adult gathering, which is normally a wine and cheese party about once a month during the program year, usually at the parsonage, because we found out quickly we have two things here that are at a premium in Arlington. One is we have a big house, thanks to the congregation, with lots of space and free parking. So we started gathering people there, and what we do, well, last night would be a typical example. 25 people came. 7 or 8 of them were coming for the first time. I have a planning team, and everybody goes around and tries to meet everybody and introduce everybody and make sure no one is left alone. And we just socialize for about an hour and a half, and then we sit down and get to know each other a little better by, I usually ask some kind of a question that will help us do that. And then I ask a semi-spiritual question, something that almost anybody could talk about, whether they come from a church background or not, or whether they've been involved. I've used ones like, what are you most thankful for this year? What are the greatest gifts you've ever received in your life? Actually, my favorite one comes from my wife, and she got it from Mr. Rogers. Who are the people who loved you into being? Can you talk about that? You can try. It's hard sometimes, but it's powerful. So last night I just asked the question, what is it about this Pope? Why are people so intrigued by him? What does he teach us about the Christian faith? What does he teach us about spirituality? And we had a tremendous conversation. Well, anyway, two of the people who have been involved in young adult ministry from the very beginning are David Blyke and Rachel Miller Blyke. In fact, I think the first summer or right away in the fall that I was here, they invited me over for dinner at their place. And one of the things we talked about was, how would we go about reaching out to young adults in our community? And so David's going to share a little bit about his experience. Dave is now our congregational president. This is kind of a side story. Pastor Amy said, she said, what model of young adult ministry are you going to do there? I said, well, I don't know. She said, well, you know, we found out that it doesn't really work to just have the young adult group be like another group in the church, like the youth program or whatever. I said, well, then we'll do it different. We're going to do the takeover. And she said, what's the takeover? I said, the young adults will just take over the church. So they're about half of the church council now. And, well, Dave will tell more about what our young adults do here.
Thanks, Pastor Brian. By the way, do you remember what we fed you at that dinner that we had you at?
No, but there was wine. I remember that.
It was a good old North Dakota meal, Swedish meatballs.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that.
I'm sure you loved it. Anyway. Anyway, yes, I'm Dave Blake. My wife Rachel sits over there. And we've been members here at Faith for almost 7 years now. And when we first joined, there wasn't a very vibrant young adult program. But when it was really not until Pastor Brian got here that we wanted to get involved more and get active in the sense of trying to start a young adult program. And I'm amazed at how it's just grown, I think, beyond our imagination, how fast it's grown and how vibrant it has become over these last few years. And for Rachel and I, it's been an incredible supportive group of friends, a good network for us. I'd say we call some of our closest friends members of this group, and it probably, I don't know if we had ever connected with them if it weren't for the group, because we, like Pastor Brian mentioned, a lot of the initial gatherings were at the parsonage where we would gather, meet new people, and learn more about each other, and some very close bonds have been formed throughout those gatherings. And I just wanted to touch briefly about how the young adult program has really impacted this church, and I think how it's impacted the broader community. And you probably noticed over maybe a time that young adults have really gotten involved in a lot of ministries around here. Pastor Vic would probably attest. Young adults have been a big supporters, helpers with the youth and confirmation youth, especially being confirmation mentors for a lot of the students, and helping out at various like retreats or lockdowns. You probably notice now a lot of them are involved in worship, whether it be assisting minister or singing in the choir or helping with the sound back there or even being an usher. We're I think, as Pastor Brian said, slowly taking over, but hopefully in a good way. And also being a part of the church council, too, and supporting various ministries like Bag Meal and really taking what they do here and bringing it into the broader community as well. I know that there are young adults who live in either in D.C. or as far as Maryland, and some of them during the week they'll go to Bible studies throughout, or they'll be impromptu events, not necessarily official young adult sanctioned events, but they'll go out and invite a whole bunch of others and really spread the good news. But one of the one example that I wanted to share with you was, and many of you probably remember them, Cam and Sam Sipe, when they had the events. If you don't remember, Cam and Sam, Sam went into labor about 10 weeks before she was due, and it was actually right before they were supposed to move to Kansas City. And so that really threw a wrench into their plans, and I believe Vince was delivered roughly about 8 weeks before the due date, and so Cam and Sam, they had to spend a lot of their time in the NICU with Vince. And during that time, a lot of the young adults here, and others, really stepped up to support them, to help them, to make make a very stressful period of their lives a little bit less stressful. Rachel and I can recall making casseroles and others making casseroles and dropping them off every Sunday in the freezer over there so they could come pick it up and have a meal or have a bunch of meals during the week. Also, I know young adults paid visits to them while at the hospital, and I think at least one period of time they even cleaned their apartment, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and helped clean their apartment. So it was just, I know that they were very moved by that, because they chose to have Vince baptized here in this church, and I think in part because of the love and support that they had received. and how touched they were that they really wanted Vince to be baptized in this church and not in Kansas City like they may have originally planned. So that's just one small example of how this group really steps up and supports one another and really tries to touch people in a way that, as Pastor Brian was alluding to in his sermon. But I do think it is important that we continue on with the two full-time pastor model, because Pastor Brian's right. A lot of young adults, when they initially are interested in joining or wanting to become a part of this group, they really reach out to him. I think it's easier to reach out to a pastor than maybe a random young adult, just because it's a pastor probably is seemingly a bit more welcoming. But it's important to have that second full-time pastor, because Pastor Vette, she works very hard with the youth, and that's a big area of focus for her ministry. It would be difficult if she had to take on additional responsibilities. So it could really help continue the momentum of the young adult program if we had two full-time pastors. And so as we approach Miracle Sunday coming up on November 15th, I definitely ask that you prayerfully consider how you can support this ministry further and other ministries as we learn more about them. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, David. So I've sent out hundreds and hundreds of emails. I used to keep track of them, and I just finally gave up. And I'm so amazed by how often, as I've emailed young adults and others, I mean, it's not just young adults. I think we've had 260 people join the church in the last 4.5 years, and about 60% of them are young adults. Another quarter are youth and children. But I've sent emails to people, and I kept getting a response. I don't know if it's just part of the culture now or whatever, but people would say, well, thank you for reaching out to me. And I'm like, well, you know, you left your email. Why shouldn't I? But I soon realized that people really appreciate it. And sometimes I'll think of someone I haven't seen for a while, and I'll just maybe write an email saying, checking in. And I said, you know, I just haven't seen you for a while. I wonder how you're doing. And again, people say, thank you for reaching out to me. Many times it's because something is going on in their lives that is keeping them from church or whatever. But it's almost like they're saying, thank you for touching base with me, or thank you for being in touch with me. People have been so open to being touched because they hunger to be touched by God. And as I said before, you and I, working through the church, have a chance to touch other people's lives, but also to be touched by them, because I have learned over these years that so many of our young adults are extremely spiritual people. They're concerned at a much earlier stage of life than my generation was to really ask the question of their call. How does their work or their graduate school or whatever they're doing fit in with what God might be asking them to do? And so as they come into our congregation, they not only get involved in all these areas that Dave talked about, but they give us the gift of their faith. They're so willing to share their faith with our younger people and with each of us. And what I've found that this ministry that I've had a chance to do here has truly been a blessing to me, and it's something that I will carry that blessing, I know, the rest of my life. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Amen.